Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to the National Press Club. My name is Monroe Carman. I am president of the club and editor-at-large at Bloomberg Business News. I'd like to welcome club members and their guests here in the audience, as well as those of you watching on C-SPAN or listening to this program on National Public Radio or the Global Internet Computer Network. Before introducing our head table, I'd like to mention some of our speakers in coming weeks. On Thursday, December 14th, we'll have George David, the Chief Executive Officer of United Technologies, here to discuss his national strategy for employee education in response to the permanent corporate commitment to restructuring. And the next day, on Friday, December 15th, John Sweeney, new president of the AFL-CIO, will talk about his agenda for American workers. Transcripts and audio and videotapes of press club luncheons are available by calling 1-800-211-4020. The National Press Club is also pleased to announce the publication of a book called The National Press Club's Best Contemporary Speakers. The book contains 13 of the best speeches made during the year 1994. To order a copy, again, the number, 1-800-211-4020. If you have any questions for our speaker, you'll find some cards at your table. Please write your questions on them, pass them up, and I will ask as many as time permits. And now I'd like to introduce our head table guests and ask them to stand briefly when their names are called. From your right, Linda Killian, freelance journalist, Tom Webb of the Wichita Eagle, Liza Zagaroli of the Detroit News, Al Young, sports copy editor and writer for USA Today, and president of the D.C. chapter of the Asian American Journalists Association, Josh Barr of the Washington Post, Kathy Kiley of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Moving beyond our guests today, Mark Johnson, Media General News Service and chairman of the Press Club Speakers Committee, Doris Margolis, president of Editorial Associates and member of the Speakers Committee who arranged today's luncheon, Theodosia Craig of McGraw-Hill, Karen Goldberg of the Washington Times, and Heather Hope, freelance journalist. I'd also like to mention Melissa Bender, Pat Nelson, Melanie Abdo-Dermott, and Howard Rothman, who played a vital part in organizing today's luncheon. For a long time, our speaker today was recognized as a figure skater who had everything: style on the ice, spectacular jumping ability, and dazzling footwork. He just never seemed to put all those things together in the same place at the same time. As Scott Hamilton once said, when he is on, he's one of the finest skaters in the world, but he just never seems to put it together consistently. Commentators blamed the fault on a serious case of the worries. When it came time to perform, our guest was always thinking, analyzing, and worrying. One sports writer called it paralysis by analysis. 3 years ago, in Albertville, France, Paul Wiley put it all together. He overcame whatever worries he had and went on to win the Olympic silver medal. Many observers thought he should have won the gold. It was a magnificent accomplishment. You must remember, Paul Wiley wasn't expected to do anything except show up for the 1992 Olympics. He himself confessed to being unhappy with his performance in making the team. He expressed doubt as to whether the 4 years of preparation was worth it. There was even talk of retiring from the rink. After all, he had just graduated cum laude from Harvard and was headed to a career in law school. When the television commentators handicapped men's figure skating at the 1992 Olympics, Paul Wiley's name wasn't even mentioned as a possible medalist. Then came his short program. Wiley performed brilliantly, gaining confidence with every axel, lutz, and toe loop. When the favorite struggled, he found himself well-positioned in fourth place, going into the free skate, his specialty. Said one commentator, The quiet American Paul Wiley made a very big noise. Excuse me. Like the dramatic effect here. If Wiley's short program was a big noise, his free skate was a deafening roar, earning him the silver medal. It was a golden moment for Paul. Asked if he'd ever dreamt of a moment like that, he replied, "Yeah, but I always woke up too soon." When he is awake, 31-year-old Paul Wiley is a favorite of figure skating competitors and fans alike. As one commentator put it, he is absolutely beloved by the figure skating community. Now is in his fourth year as a professional figure skater, appearing with the Discover Card Stars on Ice. In law school, well, that keeps getting put off. And that's all good fortune. For here in Washington, we have too many lawyers, let's be honest about it, and too few Olympic medalists. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome for the free spirit of figure skating, Paul Wiley.
Thank you. I can't recall being introduced quite like that before. That was great. Thank you. I'd like to start off by saying today that it is indeed an honor to address you here. Occasionally I catch these speeches on C-SPAN in my hotel room on the road, and I enjoy them very much. I try to express myself through my craft, figure skating, but I sometimes find it difficult and even frustrating to be in the business of saying something with no text. This represents a rare opportunity then to articulate the muted thoughts inside my mind, and I'd like to thank the